أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين. Verse number 125. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. وإذ جعلنا البيت مثابة للناس وأمنا واتخذوا من مقام إبراهيم مصلى وعهدنا إلى إبراهيم وإسماعيل أن طهر بيتي للطائفين والعاكفين والركع السجود. And when we made the house a place of reward or return for mankind and a sanctuary, then we told them, take the venue of prayer from Abraham's station. We charged Abraham and Ismail, purify my house for those who go round it, for those who make it a retreat, and for those who bow and prostrate. Now, we discussed part of this verse last week about how this is a place of return for all people, Mathabat and Linnas, and we discussed about the command of God regarding the place of station, the station of Ibrahim to be taken as a place for prayer. The part of the verse that we did not discuss is the last sentence, وَعَهِدْنَا إِلَىٰ إِبْرَاهِيمَ وَإِسْمَعِيلَ أَنْ تَحْرَ بَيْتِيَ لِلطَّائِفِينَ وَالْعَاكِفِينَ وَالرُّكَعِ السُّجُودِ. We charged Abraham and Ismail, Ibrahim and Ismail, that purify my house for Ta'ifin, for Akifin, and for Ruka al-Sujud. We discuss what these mean, because the translation that I gave may not actually give the full meaning of it. Now, Allah says that this was a command to Ibrahim and Ismail. Tahira bayti, purify my house. Now, first of all, there wasn't any house there initially. They had to build the house. And secondly, the place was a desert. There wasn't any sort of object of impurity in that place so that they want to purify it. Therefore, this purification should be a spiritual purification. Tahira bayti means prepare my house in a pure way, in a pure way, so that it becomes a place for pure people to come and see the benefits of it. As I said, this house has found importance because its bricks, its stones are laid by Ibrahim and Ismail. And it was a command to Ibrahim and Ismail that you do it yourself. You do not commit anyone to do it. You do not employ anyone to do this for you. You have to lay this by your own hands. I want you to do it. And when Allah says, "Antahira bayti," my house, they were going to make the house, because the next verse says, "Wa'idh yarfa'u Ibrahimu al-qawa'ida min al-bayti wa Ismail." When they were building it, they were saying something. Even before they were building it, Allah says, this is my house. And my house doesn't mean a house in which I live, means something which does not belong to anyone. It belongs to me only. In essence, Allah is actually franchising this house to be property of anyone. And you, Ibrahim and Ismail, you are building it, but you have no authority over it. It is my house. You purify it, but it belongs to who? It belongs to Ta'ifin and Akifin and Ruka al-Sujud. It belongs to those people. It does not belong to you. It does not belong to anyone. This is my house. And everyone who have that quality, those qualities that Allah mentions, they can come and take benefit from this house. And tahhira bayti لِلطَّائِفِينَ وَالْعَاكِفِينَ وَالرُّكَّعِ السُّجُودِ. Now, ta'ifin Usually ta'if means someone who does tawaf, who goes around the house, but here it doesn't mean that. Ta'if also means a traveler, because it goes around places. The traveler is called ta'if as well. Akif is someone who stays in a place. So let ta'ifin, and here as well, akifin doesn't mean those who come and do i'tikaf in this house. Neither ta'if means those who come and do tawaf, nor akif mean those who come and do i'tikaf and retreat in this place. As it was given in translation, I think that is not very accurate. What we understand from ta'ifin al-akifin are those who stay in this place and those who come as travelers to visit this house. This is equally belongs to everyone. Those who live in this area, those people who live in this area, who live around the house, live in Mecca, live in a country which contains Mecca, have no more rights over this house than those who travel and come to this house. Because Allah, as I said, is actually franchising the house from any sort of worldly attribution of property or anything. This is my house. It does not belong to anyone. So those who travel, those who stay here, and this is why Mecca, since old days, since the time of Ibrahim, since this house was built or rebuilt, it was an open city. Everyone could come there. And it was a custom since the time of Ibrahim that the Hujjaj there, first of all, they were given food, they were given drink, and they were given lodging. And it is one of the actually mustahabbat of people who live in Mecca is that they have to receive Hujjaj when they come to that city without charging them for anything, opening the doors so that Hujjaj come. Of course, nowadays it's not possible, but it implies the importance of the global and international nature of Kaaba and the vicinity, Mecca. So, Tahira Bayti, purify this house, lit ta'ifin, for the travelers who come, wal akifin, and those who stay here have no right to bar anyone, to prevent anyone to come. And what these people do, of course, ta'ifin and akifin should not come there for holiday, should not come there for business. This place is not for these things. This is for rukka'is sujood, for those who prostrate and bow. Rukka'is sujood is another term for musallin. Those who want to come here, those who want to come and pray here, those who want to come and worship, then it should be free for them to come. In our modern time, what these terms imply is, first of all, those who are in charge of that place, of course, the house always have had awliya, always have had mutawalli, people who looked after it, who upkept the maintenance of the house and everything, but they could not charge for that, and they didn't. Since old days, those people who were in charge of Kaaba, they didn't charge anyone. And also, they cannot, in modern days, if you want to get a visa to go to Mecca, you should not be charged for that. The visa should be free. Of course, the country may say, what I charge now is not for entering Mecca, for entering the house, it is for entering my country, the passage that I give you. I charge you for that passage, and then you can go freely to the house. We may say this, but because Allah has made this a place for travelers and for those who stay, it would be better for the authorities, anyone who is in charge. Nowadays, of course, is the Saudi government. In future, God knows who. In past, there were other people. it's better that they do not charge for visa, for the passage right, for anything, for those who want to come and visit this house. Because Allah says it's for travelers and for those who stay here. And Allah mentions travelers first, before Akifin. وَأَنْ تَحْرَ بَيْتِي لِلْطَائِفِينَ وَالْعَاكِفِينَ وَالْرُكَّعِ السُّجُودِ. Of course, the purpose of this trip, the purpose of this travel should be worship of Allah around this house, not anything else. Not, for example, just a visit, tourism or anything like that. For that, of course, people can charge. But for those who want to go to Hajj, it's better not to charge anything, even if they can, to somehow provide free provision for those who, for the Hujjaj, as it has been a custom since old days, since before Islam, people actually took over themselves to feed the Hujjaj, to prepare water for them, and whatever other amenities. Okay, up to here, Allah talks about the building of the house, the command to Ibrahim and Ismail. From here, there is a turn in the tone of the ayat, and that is what Ibrahim and Ismail asked from Allah while they were building the house. Apparently, they were very well aware what big honor they are given, what big task Allah has charged them with. And therefore, when they made the house, or even while they were making it, when they were raising the walls of the house, they were constantly praying and asking Allah. And this shows their insight, because when in retrospect, when we look back, we see that what they did actually drew the attention of millions and millions of people over during the history. They went there, they prayed there, they actually asked from Allah things. Those things were fulfilled for them. So knowing that, and considering Ibrahim has come from a long way, has come from Palestine to Mecca, specifically for this command to build the house with his hand and go back, knowing all these things, now they are asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala certain things. وَإِذْ قَالَ إِبْرَاهِيمُ رَبِّ اجْعَلْ هَذَا بَلَدًا آمِنًا. And look at the items that he's asking, and look how Allah has fulfilled them all. All of them have been fulfilled. رب اجعل هذا بلدا آمنا. My Lord, make this a secure city. And Allah said, this city is secure. Not that people cannot violate it, no, but it is my command that this city should not be violated in terms of attacking anyone, doing harm to anyone. This is a secure place. رب اجعل هذا بلدا آمنا. When he says, Hada, there are two versions of this dua of Ibrahim in the Quran. One is here, and the other is in Surah Ibrahim. In Surah Ibrahim says, Rabbi ij'al hadhal balada amina. Apparently, that is at a later stage, when Mecca almost was formed like a city, almost. Because he said, my God, make this city secure. رَبِّ اجْعَلْ هَذَا الْبَلَدِ آمِنًا. Make this city secure. Here is when they are actually raising the walls of Kaaba. There is no one there yet. There is no city. He says, make this place a secure city. رَبِّ اجْعَلْ هَذَا بَلَدًا آمِنًا. There was no city. He says, make this a city. It was made a city. وَرَزُقْ أَهْلَهُ مِنَ الثَّمَرَاتِ. And provide his people with fruits with fruits as provisions. And it was, of course, fulfilled. Mecca became a very flourishing city. All the thamarat of the world were coming there, a center for business and everything. However, Ibrahim ask something and Allah said, what you ask is not possible. I give you what you want, but it comes with other things as well. He says, رَبِّ اجْعَلْ هَذَا بَلَدًا آمِنًا وَرْزُقْ أَهْلَهُ مِنَ الثَّمَرَاتِ مَنْ آمَنَ مِنْهُمْ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ. For those who believe in God and the day of judgment, the last day. He said, provide for them. Provide for them. And this is, of course, quite seeming from Ibrahim, putting such a caveat that I'm not asking you to, for example, support the Zalimun, to support the rebels, the transgressors, by providing for them. I'm asking you to provide for the believers. And Allah says, I do that. But when I provide for believers, others would use it as well. I cannot say, okay, only believers use this. It cannot be separated. This is the way the life is. In the verse, قُلْ مَنْ حَرَّمَ زِينَةَ اللَّهِ الَّتِي أَخْرَجَ لِعِبَادِهِ وَالطَّيِّبَاتِ مِنَ الرِّزْقِ. Who has forbidden the pure rizq that Allah has provided for His servants? It is actually mentioned that قُلْ هِيَ لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. I am providing all these for believers, because disbelievers are not fulfilling the purpose of their life. However, I cannot separate. I cannot say believers use, disbelievers don't use. This world is a world of mixing, is a world where everyone mixes with other people. However, on the day of judgment, all these provisions go for believers. That's Yom al-Fas. That's the day of separation. I separate. However, here it says, قُلْ مَنْ حَرَّمَ زِينَةَ اللَّهِ الَّتِي أَخْرَجَ لِعِبَادِهِ وَالطَّيِّبَاتِ مِنَ الرِّزْقِ قُلْ هِيَ لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. The purpose is that خَالِصَةً يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. On the day of judgment, I make it pure for them. Now, it is for the believers. It is for those who are actually seeking the purpose, the right purpose of life. However, I do not prevent it from others as well. And we see that something which belongs to believers is mainly and mostly taken by disbelievers. And Allah doesn't care. It doesn't matter. This life is transient. It passes quickly. So Allah says, after Ibrahim makes this dua, قَالَ وَمَنْ كَفَرَ. And anyone who is ungrateful and disbeliever, فَأُمَتِّعُهُ قَلِيلًا. I fulfill what you want, but I do not exclusively put it for the believers. Whoever disbelieves, I give them for a short time. ثُمَّ أَذْتَرُّهُ إِلَىٰ عَذَابِ النَّارِ وَبِئْسَ الْمَصِيرُ. Then I will shove them towards the punishment of the fire. This is أَذْتَرُّهُ, means necessarily. Whether they want or they don't want, they move towards the punishment of hell. By using all these, and by not being grateful, and by not fulfilling the purpose of their life, they necessarily, unavoidably, they are moving towards the fire of the hell. وَبِئْسَ الْمَصِيرِ. And it is a bad destination. Masir is from Sayrura. Sayrura is becoming. When something is actually moving to become something. And if you want to take this verse in its literal meaning, it means people are becoming what they are in the next life. Not that I am punishing, not that I am doing these things to them. They are becoming what they are. And if they go towards the fire of hell, towards the punishment of fire, then it is a bad way of becoming. It's a bad way to somehow develop oneself into, if they want to do that. This was one of the du'as of Ibrahim. The second du'a, well, this was, of course, this can be analyzed into several things. First, to make this secure, and two things, make this secure and give the provision to the people. Well, of course, the two main things that Abraham asked is the two things Abraham asked are the two main components of a good life, isn't it? Security and provision. And Allah always mentions these two together as components of a good life. It's not only to have security and not only to have provision and wealth, both of them together. And in many instances, for example, in Surah Quraysh, فَلْيَعْبُدُوا رَبَّ هَذَا الْبَيْتِ الَّذِي أَطْأَمَهُمْ مِنْ جُوعٍ وَآمَنَهُمْ مِنْ خَوْفٍ. They should worship the Lord of this house who fed them so that they are not hungry and made them secure from fear of insecurity. These two things. Actually, Allah is alluding to this dua of Ibrahim. I have made this a secure place. I have given provisions, and it is, of course, a consequence of the dua of Ibrahim. Zaraballahu mathalan qaryatan kanat aminatan mutma'innatan ya'ti rizquha ragadan min kulli makan fakarfarat bi'an'umillah. There was a city, Allah gives the example of a city in Surah Nahl, that it was quite secure. They had security, they had good wealth, the rizq was coming from every place. فَكَفَرَتْ بَعْنُمِ اللَّهِ. They were ungrateful, they did not thank. By, of course, when we talk about thank, it's practical thank. They used it wrongly. فَأَذَاقَهُمُ اللَّهِ لِبَاسَ الْخَوْفِ وَالْجُوعِ بِمَا كَانُوا يَسْنَعُونَ. Then Allah replaced that with insecurity and with hunger. So these two components, and this is what Ibrahim is asking. And the second thing that they asked together. وَإِذْ يَرْفَعُ إِبْرَاهِيمُ الْقَوَاعِدَ مِنَ الْبَيْتِ وَإِسْمَائِيلُ. And when Abraham and Ismail, they were raising the foundations or the walls of the house, they were praying, our Lord, accept it from us. Indeed, you are the all-hearing, all-knowing. Well, were they doing a very big thing that they were carried away by saying that, Ya Allah, accept this from us? I mean, they were just building a cubicle house. Apparently, they knew they were charged with a big task, and that was to do something so that this house becomes pure. And they were doing it. What they were feeling, how was the situation, we don't know. But the fact is that they had this impression that this is something important, very important that we are doing. And Allah should give effect to it. رَبَّنَا تَقَبَّلْ مِنَّا doesn't mean that give us reward. Apparently, they were not, it's not, it's mean to do something like that and say, Ya Allah, give us reward. It means that you give effect to what we are doing. تَقَبَّلْ مِنَا. You accept it. By accepting it, you told us to, we purify this, we are doing it. By accepting it, you, the required effect that you want from it will come. If you do not accept it, the required event effect would not come. And this is actually about every worship that we do. If Allah accepts it, the required effect would come. If he doesn't accept, the required effect wouldn't come. Take the example of salat. If Allah accepts your salat, you feel humbleness. Inna salata tanha anil fahsha'i wal munkar. Salat make people away from, prevents from fahsha and munkar, indecency and bad things and evil. Now, if it doesn't, it means this salat is not accepted. If it does, it means the salat is accepted. And we have many instances when people ask, for example, how do we know that our salat is accepted, our worship? They look at your heart. If there is something appears in your heart, it means it's accepted. If it increases your khushu, if it increases your humbleness, your ma'rifah, it means that it's accepted. And if it has such an effect and is accepted, This is the effect in this world. The effect in the other world will be the reward that Allah will give, and as a consequence of what you are doing, actually. So when they are saying, Rabbana taqabbal minna, they are not asking for a reward. They say that we are doing this, but this job is not complete unless you accept it. And of course, Allah only accepts from who? إِنَّمَا يَتَقَبَّلُ اللَّهُ مِنَ الْمُتَّقِينَ. Allah only accepts from muttaqin. They are actually humbly saying, we do not regard ourselves as muttaqin, but you consider us to be muttaqin, and you accept it from us so that it gives the required effect. Was this dua accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Of course, you see the required effects. Millions of people are actually waiting in queue to go to Mecca every year. And this is the fulfillment of this taqabbul. You see that Allah has accepted that from them. Another request, which is even more important than the two that they asked. Rabbana waj'alna muslimain lak. Our Lord, make us two Muslims, submissive. Muslim is submissive, of course, for you. And women dhurriyatina ummatan muslimatan lak. And from our progeny, a group which are submissive to you. وَأَرِنَا مَنَاسِكَنَا, and show us our rites of worship. وَتُبْ عَلَيْنَا, and turn to us clemently. إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ التَّوَّابُ الرَّحِيمُ. Now, first of all, they asked to be Muslimin. Then they asked from their Zurriya to be Ummatan Muslima. Then they say that, show us our rites. Then they say that, return to us clemently. Four requests here in one dua. Now, you see how many requests they are making. As I said, they realize the importance of what they were doing. First of all, they asked for the security and provision for the people of who live in the house. Then they asked for the acceptance of what they were doing. Then they ask these four things, and then comes the climax of what they are asking, Rabbana wab'ath fihim rasulan minhum. So you see that these are many requests they are making from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it doesn't mean that these mentioned here were their only requests, because Allah usually chooses the best part of everything, every dua, every act, every event, and mentions it in the Quran. They made lots of duas. These are the most important ones. Now here, اجعلنا مسلمين لك. Well, this is after Ibrahim has become a sort of imam, or just before that. We don't know whether this happened before Ibrahim was appointed as an imam or after. But certainly he was a Rasul, he was a Khalilullah. Ismail was completely submissive to Allah. What is it that they are asking? Make us two Muslims to you. You know, the faith begins with Islam, with submission, and it ends with Islam, with submission. When I say it ends, means it comes to its climax. It completes with Islam. The first step is that you submit to the Prophet that you are the messenger of God. This is the first step. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. This first step is just accepting. It's just like entering a university. By entering a university, you do not become a scientist, you do not become a philosopher. You have to start studying. But the first and most important step is that you have to be admitted, you have to enter. Now, the first step is that you enter this university by saying, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. Okay, you enter. Now, the journey starts from here. By saying this, do we have faith? Not yet. Maybe partially. قالت الأعراب آمنا قل لم تؤمنوا ولكن قولوا أسلمنا ولما يدخل الإيمان في قلوبكم. The Bedouins come to you and they say we believe. Tell them not yet. You have just submitted. You have just entered. Now, inshallah, if you practice, then you become believers. So the first step is this one. The more we actually, the deeper we go into this practice, more submissive our hearts become to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it comes to a climax where all layers of the soul and heart, the deepest levels of our personality, would submit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you test yourself, of course we are all at different levels of Islam, but if we test ourselves, sometimes things happen that our soul, our nafs, is defiant towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why is he doing it? Why these things are happening? Even if we don't say it, there is a defiance inside the heart. We suppress it. We don't want it to come, but it comes. It means that the soul is not yet submitted. Total submission comes when, of course, that absolute tranquility. When faith is added upon faith, added upon faith. هو الذي أنزل السكينة in Surah Hadith. أنزل السكينة في قلوب المؤمنين. Sorry, in Surah Fat. هو الذي أنزل السكينة في قلوب المؤمنين ليزدادوا إيمانا مع إيمانهم. When faith is added to faith, when your faith increases or deepens, then tranquility comes. That tranquility, when it completes, then you do not complain about anything. Then you are absolutely calm. No matter how much suffering comes, not that you do not suffer. One suffers, of course. But it doesn't change anything. It doesn't change anything at all. It becomes quite pleasant for a person to be tried by God with different trials, because he knows that he's in good hands, because he knows that he's doing good surgery on him to take him to the higher levels of faith. I don't know whether I told you the story of this very pious man in Tehran, Ayatollah Haqshanas. Did I tell that to you? No, I didn't. Yeah, Ayatollah Haqshanas was a very pious man. And he was sent by Ayatollah Burujerdi. He was one of the good scholars in Qom, but Ayatollah Burujerdi told him that you have to go to Tehran and start preaching and praying as Imam al-Jama'ah in the mosque of Bazar. Now, Bazar is usually not a very good place, isn't it? Bazar is the place of business and tricks and such things. Ayatollah Burujerdi told him, you go to Masjid al-Bazar and do that. And he was somehow upset. He didn't want to go. And he went to Imam Khomeini. At that time, of course, Imam Khomeini was a young scholar, and told him that this is a commission assignment given to me by Ayatollah Burujerdi. I don't want to go. What do you say? Imam says, I swear by God. No, he says, it's very good. Go. It's very good. Go. People need you there. And then he said, if this mission was given to you yourself, would have you gone? Why don't you go yourself? You go. I don't want to. You go. Then Imam Khomeini told him, I swear by God, if I was given the mission, I would have gone. But I'm not given the mission. Now you are given. You go. Now he came there. He became actually a light in that place, and he preached. He actually educated many tulab muhazzabun, good tulab with good spirituality, good akhlaq. Towards the end of his life, he became very ill, and I visited him a couple of times, especially when in his later stages of life, he was on wheelchair, he couldn't move, And many, as they say, he had 15 different types of illnesses. But still, with that, his house was full of people all the time, doing a martam, doing lectures and all these things, and they brought him with wheelchair to sit there. He couldn't even speak, just sitting there. But his face was really shining with light of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, about those illnesses, he says that once, he said to one of his students that, I saw, maybe in dream or in a vision or whatever, I saw that someone told me, do you want to go to a higher class? Higher class of faith, of course. Do you want to go to a higher class? I said, yes. Then he showed me a class of faith that only 3-4 people from all over the world were sitting in that class. He says, you want to go to this class? I said, yes. And he told me, are you ready? Are you prepared? I said, yes. And then all these illnesses came. And it was actually a test to gauge the level of his submission. That is how it comes, of course. Allah doesn't just give illness to test us. No, he wants to see whether we are ready to go to a higher stage of faith, whether we can show submission, we can show thankfulness. And he said yes, and all these illnesses came. And despite all this, he was always happy, always pleased. And he used to say that, I cannot be more pleased in life than what I am now. Why? Because he wanted to go one step higher in taslim, in Islam, in submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Someone told Amirul Mumin, I love you. Amirul Mumin said, that's so, prepare for test. Because you cannot just claim something. You cannot just claim that I love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Oh, yeah, Allah, I love you very much. Do you really love me? Okay, let me see if you love me or you do not love me. You're just saying it. You just hear that there are some people who love Allah. They are very close to Allah. I want to be like them. You want to be like them? Okay, there are tests. There are tests. We know after every prophet, because when a prophet comes and the faith prevails, everyone enters the faith. And then, of course, Allah says that, أَحَسَبَ النَّاسِ أَنْ يُتْرَكُوا أَنْ يَقُولُوا آمَنَّا وَهُمْ لَا يُفْتَنُونَ. People think that we just leave them, they say, we believe, and they are not tested. Well, I have to test them to see whether they really believe or they do not believe. Anyhow, this Islam that they were asking about, رَبَّنَا وَجْعَلْنَا مُسْلِمَيْنَ, like make us two Muslims for you, is a higher stage or the highest stage of faith, absolute. When Allah says about Ibrahim, إِذْ قَالَ لَهُ رَبُّهُ أَسْلَمْ, his Lord told to Ibrahim, after he was a messenger, Allah told him, submit. قَالَ أَسْلَمْتُ لِرَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. No speck of a sort of unruliness towards Allah remained in his soul. There are other things about this verse, inshallah, and especially about this Ummatul Muslimah. We discuss it next week. Wa sallallahu ala Muhammadin wa ala tahirin.
Thank you, Majid Sheikh. So, brothers and sisters, we have about 15, 20 minutes to continue the discussion, clarify any points, any. Brothers or sisters would like to take up.
Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh. Sheikh, right in the beginning, you specified that the reason, the purpose Allah created the Kaaba for, or is for the people who are the travelers and the people who stay there, whereas at the Fasir, and there was a third one, that the people who bow down in prostration. The first two are very general. The last one is just specifically an item of worship. And
No, it means for those who stay and for those who travel, for ruku and sujood.
Yeah, the tafsir, tafasir, like this one I've got here, actually specify all three of them as just specific items of worship and not general. So
They say tawaf and itikaf and...
And obviously this is very good for the current administration because then they can charge what they like because they don't take your meaning. But why are people thinking differently? I mean, is it a Shia Sunni thing
it's a different way of understanding the verse. You know, it is because it's the house. It's very easy to think of Ta'ifin, those who do tawaf around the house, of course. But if we see the context of the verse and compare it with other verses, like for example, in Surah Ibrahim, it says لِلْطَائِفِينَ وَالْقَائِمِينَ وَالرُّكَّ السُّجُودِ. And qa'imin means, of course, those who stay here. So when we put all these together, I think this is a better understanding than saying this for those who do tawaf or itikaf or ruku and sujood.
No, and we agree. But why do other people not think like that? Because it seems like it's a very big difference in meaning. It's not like there's a small difference in meaning.
Well, I don't know why. This understanding that I mentioned is the understanding of Allama Tabatabai, which says that there are other Shia scholars who do not understand it this way. This is a deeper way of understanding the verse. Yeah.
Thank you. Any sisters? Sisters? Brothers? Brother Riaz, no? Sheikh, Prophet Ibrahim, when he asked Allah to provide risk for the believers, was it not kind of a selfishness to ask risk for the believers only? And
well, he didn't ask it for himself, so it wasn't selfish. You may say it was a bit sectarian or dogmatic or something like that. Certainly not selfish, but this is how he was thinking the purpose of life. About the purpose of life. And he didn't want Allah to support the zalimin. You see, when Allah provides rizq for disbelievers, it means it's supporting the zalimin, isn't it? He didn't want it. But Allah says, this is my rahmaniyah. I provide for everyone. Yes, the rahimiyah, I reserve it for the believers. But rahmaniyah, I provide for everyone. Yeah.
Thanks, sisters. Brothers? Anybody? Yeah.
Sorry, going back to this Ta'ifin and Akifin, I can see the point about it being general rather than specific texts of worship. But in your talk, you were suggesting that it's not travelers for any purpose or anything, it is for those who are coming to worship, Rukka is Sujood. In terms of the linguistic aspect, the wow there is not like hal that we can say that it is whilst they are traveling or akif whilst they are doing ruku or sujood, as we have in other verses. And there I think there is some difficulty to explain that is necessarily the wow is for purpose of these two. I don't know, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, that's true. Actually, this understanding would have gone better if we didn't have wow there. And we have said that لِلْطَائِفِينَ وَالْآكِفِينَ الرُّكَّ السُّجُودِ طائفين and آكفين, those who do ruku and sujood. But there is no problem. This style is used in many structures, that you use a waw to actually add something specific to something general. It is used in Arabic language, and we probably wouldn't just forego this very beautiful way of understanding it for just a waw which is before al-ruka al-sujood. And that waw is actually the reason why many people have understood it that way, as you mentioned.
Yeah, please continue.
You also mentioned that Ibrahim, going back to what Masa was saying, that Ibrahim asked this for the believers. This idea that we have that, or at least used to prevail at some point, that really stealing from the kuffar is fine because it really belongs to us in the first place. Is this where it is coming from?
No, actually, Allah somehow rejects the request of Ibrahim. No, I provide for everyone. So, no, it's not true. And this is not something which the human conscience even can accept. And there are many, many instances in the Quran in about the rights of people in general, which would not imply that. What Ibrahim asked, when you say disbeliever, do not think about your neighbor who is not a Muslim. Think about those nations who were disbelievers, and they oppressed, they killed, they shed blood. This is what Ibrahim is asking. Do not provide for them, okay? Not individually about individual people. Otherwise, Ibrahim was living in a kafir society. He was actually kind to everyone. He was generous to everyone. No. It means that do not provide for those people who are oppressors, who are jabbarin, and such things. But Allah says, I provide for, even for jabbarin, I provide. That's what I do. But of course, this is the nature of this life as human society.
Sorry, I didn't mean that the Quran is showing this. I'm saying that
some
this
people
is what
understand
people's
it.
Understanding is coming from this kind of idea.
It's an evil understanding anyhow.
Thank you. Any sisters? Any brother? No? Last one? Okay, I think we'll have to stop
next
here.
Week. Yeah.
Thank you, Muhammad Wa Ali Muhammad Salwan.